Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Woman. This is Chris Stainis, and I'm excited to be here today. This week, we're talking about living a purposeful life. So often, we just go day to day, getting our to-do list done, and I'm really bad one at this. Don't have time to do what's really calling you forward towards your purpose. So I have dreams of developing a new business, and I get caught in that day-to-day, that busyness, and it's always tomorrow, next week, next month, I'll work on that. So why do we do this? It's safer to stay in the familiar, not take the steps into the unknown that will propel us forward towards our vision and our dreams. And what I've been learning from those who are living their dream is they first do the five things that will move them forward before their regular to-do list. So I'm going to put a focus of starting to do that. I'll start next week. So it takes courage to leave what you know, what's comfortable in your life, and push yourself toward what you've been called to do. 30 years ago, I had a vision to travel, and in 1983, I left my American workaholic life and took off with my husband to travel around the world for a year, which grew to 3 years as our dream lists of places to travel expanded. So that's what I have in common with my guest today, Karen Merringer, who is the author of Sail Into Your Dreams, 8 Steps to Living a More Purposeful Life. Karen's own journey of transformation started in 1998 when she decided to follow her heart. Dissatisfied with her work and where she was living, she took a whole year off to reinvent her life and crewed with her husband on a 46-foot sailboat, traveling from Fiji to Singapore, which was a life-changing experience. And 4 months after they returned, Karen's 15-year-old brother, Kyle, passed away from cystic fibrosis, and 3 years later, her father died unexpectedly from cancer. Heartbroken, she decided to pursue her dream of having a baby, which she has yet to realize more than 9 years later. So from personal experience, Karen knows what it is like to experience life's disappointments, but she has also learned how to transform grief and loss into greater joy and purpose. Today, she loves her life and who she is, not despite the storms, but because of them. They have made her a stronger, wiser, more loving, and compassionate person. With over 15 years of experience in the personal development field, including a master's degree in marriage and family therapy, as a life transformation coach and grief counselor, Karen assists her clients to heal and transform their grief and awaken into their purpose. And you can visit her website at www.liveapurposefullife.com. So welcome, Karen, to Voices of Women.
Thank you, Chris. I'm really honored to be here today speaking with you.
Yes, and it's great to talk to you again. Last time I saw you, you were at Woman Wisdom, I think probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, that was several years ago. Wonderful experience.
Yeah. So it's not easy to leave our jobs, and both you and I have done that. What were the steps that led you to leave everything behind to travel?
First, it started out as a conversation between my husband and I. We both were feeling dissatisfied with the work we were doing, and we would come home just tired and drained and plop in front of the TV, little passion, you know, for our lives. So it started around conversations like, well, what are we passionate about? What do we enjoy? And one of the things we decided on, we both agreed on, was sailing. So we took some action and joined a sailing club and took some sailing lessons. We started reading books about people who took off from their daily lives and traveled. They cruised via sailboat around the world, and we just got really inspired. It helped us to get out of the box of the shoulds of how we thought we should be living. And so that was the first step, was just recognizing that there is there was some dissatisfaction, and then recognizing what it is that does, what does make us feel alive. What is it that we want? What are calling to, what is calling to our hearts? So that would be the next step, is really getting clear about that. And then taking the action and small baby steps, like, you know, joining the sailing club, reading the books and magazines and journals. And then it just kind of grew from there. The inspiration just kept fueling us. The more we get out on the water, the more our passion came alive, our vitality came alive. And then that continued to fuel us, to give us the courage to take the risks, to just up anchor and take off for that year.
Yeah, well, what were your greatest fears? You know, and I want you to share that, because I think we all have that, especially I see that in the U.S. of, you know, well, you don't leave your job, you know, you can't leave your job to go travel. That's scary.
Yeah, it was scary, because there was so much unknown. It was at a time where we were completely reinventing our lives, from where we were living to what we were doing to our lifestyle. It was just a complete reinvention. So there was a lot of fear about where would we land? How would we land? Would we have enough money? What kind of storms at sea might we experience, or personality conflicts with the other crew, or, you know, just there were so many unknowns.
Storms at sea would bother me.
We did run into a few of those, and they were absolutely terrifying and thrilling at the same time. I mean, I don't think
Yeah, I know that. When I was at Burning Man one year, a few years ago, the windstorms they have, and we had to hold down this big parachute thing that was tied down to these huge poles. And at first you're scared, but then I got into it. I was going, yeehaw, you know, there's that thrill. Once you know, yeah, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. And then seeing the sight of land the next day is, you know, another huge, just, it feels like a huge accomplishment to get through a storm like that.
Yeah. So there's probably people out there listening who may have had this dream to travel too, but they don't feel they can leave their jobs in that security. What advice can you give them?
Well, that's a good question. It took a lot of introspection, you know, like I said, getting really clear about what it was that our hearts really were calling to us. So journaling and meditating, and then getting the support from family and friends. So for example, when I first published my book, there was a lot of fear for me around judgment. There was, I had a writer's group, and so I had that kind of support to hold me accountable. So I've always created some kind of group of support wherever I am, wherever I live. And so I encourage people to do that, to find like-minded individuals. So maybe joining a sailing club. So then you have other people to talk to who have done these kind of experiences, and you can kind of model yourself after them and look to them for inspiration. So those are some of my suggestions.
Yeah, and how about people, because we're dealing with a lot of people who have lost their jobs due to the economy, and what, because, you know, you left your job, well, you probably saved money to do this trip. I'd save money to do my trip, but
yes.
So there isn't that reality always for people who don't have that security of having saved for it, but I think sometimes there's still that opportunity, is that, you know, willingness to take that risk.
And also to be willing to adjust your lifestyle. In the meantime, John and I have gone from, you know, owning our own house, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, my, you know, house in the suburbs. Right now we're renting a little bungalow by the beach. It's like, are you willing to give up on some of the material things and some of the conveniences to really make it happen? So whether, for example, we only had 6 months between the time we decided to go and actually leaving, we were able to save money. Once we made the decision, then the universe did help us in many unexpected ways as well. So I think there's something to that too. When you follow your heart, that providence does move in to help out. So
yeah, and it really helps to voice it. I think if you speak it, instead of keeping it inside yourself and go, oh, I can't do that, I'd never have the money. Sometimes when you voice it, just put a voice to that dream.
Yeah.
The universe does come and provide, and other people come around to support you. So sometimes it's just really just speaking it. So you uprooted again this summer. So one of my questions is, you know, especially if you had that kind of a journey, do you ever still, again, experience periods of restlessness or dissatisfaction, and how do you deal with that?
Oh, absolutely. So it's just, again, just staying really present with what's happening in the moment. And sometimes we do get back into the old patterns. Like when we got back from sailing, we ended up with a high mortgage again. And we ended up, my husband was doing some work he didn't, wasn't satisfying, and mine was kind of draining. And it was like, well, okay, so let's reevaluate again. Let's, and just know that you can always choose again. It's so empowering. There's never a point where it's like, oh, okay, I've made this decision and now I have to stay here and I have to stay stuck and miserable. And so just always being willing to look inside and listen and then reevaluate where you are and choose again.
But I read in your journal or your blog that you loved where you were in Colorado.
Yeah.
What?
So sometimes following your heart doesn't necessarily, sometimes from my experience, following my heart or doing what's next and growing into whatever the expansion of that is means letting go of something that you love or some things that you love. When we left Seattle, we let go of living near John's family and our close friends, and we knew that we may not live in the same city again. It was really hard. We let go of our home. You know, moving from Colorado, there was a lot that I let go of personally, and a grief process that I had to go through in order to be able to show up fully present to my life right now. And so, but I was following my heart. I was following that nudge, that gut instinct and that heart desire. And I knew that if I did that, that things would eventually work out. And they have. It's taken a little while, but they have.
Yeah, that takes that trust. And sometimes you might make a wrong move and you got to adjust. I mean, you did that in California. You moved twice. So there was something that happened and you had to make an adjustment.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do. Even when you're following your heart, it isn't always. Sometimes you make a little misstep. You just course correct. So you're listening to Voices of Women with Chris Danis. We're talking to Karen Merringer. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
We all want deeper, more intimate relationships. But how do we create successful relationships and maintain strong connections? Peter Kane has some real answers. Author of The Monogamy Challenge, Creating and Keeping Intimacy, Peter is one of the original breathworkers and relationship trainers with over 30 years' experience. Breathe, relax, or create intimacy and keep it thriving. Visit peterkane.org or contact Peter Kane at 425-802-2050. Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and nothing seemed to help me. Then I started to work with Dr. Schaub's Breakthrough Program. In just a few sessions, he helped me to finally understand and heal the deeper root cause of my challenges. As a result, I feel more centered and confident than ever before. And now I have the tools which will continue to support me throughout my life's journey. Dr. Schaub's approach has changed my life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub, and I work with people across the globe to help them break through anxiety and depression and access their true potential. If you are ready to bring back confidence, joy, and meaning in your life, call us to schedule a free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit our website at cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Shosai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and I'm talking with Karen Merringer, who is the author of Sail Into Your Dreams, 8 Steps to Living a More Purposeful Life. So we've been talking about your journey of sailing. What share some stories with us, because I love stories. So,
well, one of my favorite stories, Chris, was a time when we went sailing in Fiji. We anchored out at this island called Waia, and John and I decided to take a hiking journey across the island because we had heard there was a village on the other side, and we really wanted to experience the authentic nature of the cultures that we were visiting and the countries we were visiting. So we started off on our hike, didn't bring nearly enough water. We were starving. We were looking for this village. We finally came down the hill and saw some pig pens, and we thought, okay, we must be getting closer. We got closer. There was music. There was dancing. There was this big ceremony. About 200 native Fijians. Some were in grass skirts, and some of the elders were sitting, and the children were sitting on the outside, so we just kind of slowly crept up and sat there, and they invited us to a lunch, and we were able to be kind of part of their ceremony. It was just really beautiful. They were very generous and welcoming, and we were starving, so we were so grateful. But what we noticed was the amazing, just this brilliant light and love and joy in their eyes and in their smile. And what hit us was how little they had materially and yet how richly they lived. And so that was one of the major lessons that came away with us when we got home, was we wanted to just remember that lesson of living richly and not buying into that idea that the material, you know, being attached to that, the material and the consumer-oriented nature of our culture.
Yeah, it's so amazing when you're in another culture and you see that, especially Asia. Because the weather's so warm, you can see their life more because they live outside. Versus a lot of our Western cultures, we kind of live in our homes. And so you actually see that, and you can participate in that. And it's not about things. They have a connection to the earth. It's like I always say, you know, their feet are on the ground, not on cement. And you feel that is a difference.
Yeah, there is a difference. And I love being on a sailboat and just having, like, for 8 months, we only had one backpack each of possessions. And life was so simple on the boat. So you really did experience the pleasure of doing the dishes, of cooking, of just really taking your time and then watching the sunset every night and being outdoors more. So I had that experience too of just connecting more with the earth and the ocean, of course, and we were on the ocean. So it was magnificent, the whole experience. And of course there were some storms that were scary and some challenges that came up, but it was overall just a wonderful experience, life changing.
Well, how many people were on the boat? Because here you are in this confined area. It wasn't just you and your husband.
Yeah, so the owner of the boat and then one other crew member, there were 4 of us for the duration of the trip. And then off and on, we had other visitors. The owner's wife came. His son came with a friend. So we would have other visitors at time, but just the 4 of us were the constant crew.
So did you ever feel antsy, like, I want some alone time? It's hard to get away on a boat.
Yeah, not so much, because when we were cruising, which was the only time we couldn't get away when we're out in the middle of the ocean, it was almost like being in a cocoon. I was on my own world, and the only time frame I had to relate to was my watches, which were 4 times a day for an hour and a half, and the days that I needed to cook and prepare the dinner meal. And so I was really into my own world of writing and meditating and doing some needlework and just being in the present moment. So it didn't bother me at those times as much. There were times when we were at dock where we felt like we just wanted to get away, the two of us, and get away from, the other people on the boat. But that wasn't too much of an issue.
Yeah. So returning home, how was that? I know after being gone 3 years, I think I went through culture shock coming back here. It was a couple stressful years.
It was very stressful. I know. Yeah, it was just, it took several months at least to just get used to getting on the freeway and to go into a shopping center, not feel totally overwhelmed. And one of my favorite stories is, so we had, come face to face with a Komodo dragon. We had gone through storms at sea, experiencing all these different cultures. And the scariest part of our trip, was coming home and having to drive a rental car from the LA airport to San Diego. So coming home and driving was probably the scariest part of our trip. Like you said, it's so fast here. So, mentality is very different. So it took some time adjusting, and I, after 4 months, started graduate school. And at that time, also, my younger brother, Kyle, he was 15 at the time, he died of cystic fibrosis. So I was just acclimating and getting acculturated again when those two experiences happened. So it was very challenging.
So how did you cope? Because you talked about... your brother passed away and then your father passed away. And so, what tools can you give our listeners to help them cope with, the death of a loved one?
Well, I think for me, writing was really, really important because it really helped me to get in touch with my grief and to help me to transform, some of those deeper, harder feelings, writing, journaling, being either in counseling or working with a healer or coach was helpful. The other tool that really helped me and my family was to develop rituals. So once a year, for example, we planted a tree in my brother's name and then would hike to the tree once a year on his anniversary and do some kind of either bring pictures and talk and share, meditate, pray. It was just really beautiful. And so every time, like this year, we weren't in town to do that, but we were in San Diego for my sister's graduation. And so we bought flowers and then we threw the petals into the ocean and we just sat and talked and it brought up grief. We talked about, I wonder what he would be doing today if he was still alive and what kind of person he would be. I think that was probably that's been one of the most healing things that we've done as a family, is just to remember once a year and to get together with some kind of ritual or ceremony.
So it comes to mind to me that not isolating in your grief is important, that your family has, once a year, but you share this grief together and talk about it and honor the memory of him. And so, cause sometimes I think when we're going through grief, it's such an internal process that it's hard to talk about it.
Oh, it really is. Yeah. It's tremendously, and I have found that, there were times where I isolated and my energy was much lower. So I didn't have a lot of energy to be out and to be social. And, that in some ways was beneficial at times. And then some ways was kind of detrimental. I really needed to, reach out for more support. So it's kind of a balancing act, finding what works, what works for you.
Yeah, it is. And it's layers. I think when you were talking about it, so it's been what, 11, 12 years since he passed away?
Yeah, 12 years. And then my dad 3 years later. And then also I've gone through some other grieving, since then, but it's, yeah, just layers of the onion, right? So sometimes you feel like you're okay for a long time and the time seems to spread out longer and longer when you're okay. And then other times it's just comes right up and it's right there. And you think, wow, I didn't realize that was there. Where did that come from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's important to feel that, to express those feelings. And I know my mom passed away 7 years ago, and every once in a while it'll come up for me. And I remember it being a very intense feeling time. Like I was very in tune with the emotions in me, and everything was like heightened for the first few months. Looking back on it and just being in it, it was kind of an amazing experience. You can't even describe it, And I remember people telling me like, oh, now you know how I feel. Especially I think when your mother passes away, there's a real bond there. And, you know, it's the person who birthed you. And I always, cause my parent, I mean, she was 91. So you always kind of imagine what's it going to be like when your parent passes away. And it nowhere matched what I thought. What I imagined it to be was, it was so much more than that. It was, you know, and it's part of life we all have to deal with. So you also, you talked about,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I found it to be, so not only was there the intense grief and sometimes, you know, at times some depression that would come up, but also this huge opportunity for awakening spiritually. It was like, I felt like you said, there's hardly any words you can put to it, but mm-hmm. you know, at times I felt like almost like I was touching the other side because I was a witness to my brother's death and to my father's death. And then afterwards felt their presence and had, you know, some communication with them and just, so I think that was, it was a huge time for me, a catalyst for me to grow and develop spiritually and with my life purpose and my work. You know, I really got focused and clear about what it is I'm here to do. And so there were so many gifts that came out of that experience. And that's what I use the word fertile living, but that's the idea, is how to create new life and use the loss and the pain to as fertilizer for creating new life and opening. Opening to our spirituality, opening to new possibilities, and creativity and joy.
Yeah, there is an opening that happens there. Well, and so you mentioned this fertile living, and that's that, well, I guess you'd call it a life force, and we'll talk more about that when we return. So we're going to take a quick break. This is Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Women. And when we return, we'll talk more with Karen Merringer.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Ocean's Flavor natural sea salts are specialty products with less sodium, up to 68% than standard table salt, free of any chemicals or artificial flavors. Ocean's Flavor natural sea salts maintain 84 necessary minerals for a balanced diet and healthy body. All Ocean's Flavor natural sea salts may be purchased at oceansflavor.com. And now Ocean's Flavor natural less sodium sea salts has introduced heart health the gourmet seasoning at 68% less sodium than table salt. Available in Mexican, Italian, garlic, seasoned, Asian, barbecue, Cajun, and Chipotle flavors. The sodium is the lowest of any seasonings on the market today. Purchase heart-healthy gourmet seasonings on the web at oceansflavor.com and in many national grocery chains. Oceansflavor.com, the only salt company that produces 100% natural low-sodium sea salt.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister of light, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Well, that was Lorraine Bay singing our Woman of Wisdom's theme song. It's on our Woman of Wisdom CD, and you can purchase that app on our Woman of Wisdom website, www.womenofwisdom.org. And it's a beautiful, inspiring CD. Lots of music from amazing women singers, Holly Near, Rhiannon, Libby Roderick, and many others. So I'm talking today with Karen Merringer. And Karen, can you give your contact information?
Sure. My website is liveapurposefullife.com. My phone number is 831-359-2441, and my email address is creativetransformations@yahoo.com.
Okay, and so today, listeners, if you mention this radio show, Karen will give you a free 30-minute consultation, and also you can receive $30 off a 3-session coaching package. So you can you give your phone number and email again so people can write that down and take advantage of those offers?
Absolutely. It's 831-359-2441 and creativetransformations@yahoo.com.
Great. So we just briefly talked about fertile living, but I know this has come from, I'm guessing, from your experience of having this dream to have a baby, and you've gone through 9 years of miscarriages, which is, you know, pretty intense and I would imagine an emotional roller coaster ride. And I know there's many others out there who have the dream of having a baby or having difficulty, have miscarriages, all that. So love you to share with the audience your journey with that, your process, what you went through.
Oh my goodness. So as you're speaking, I'm feeling the emotion welling up. So obviously it's still a journey. It's still a process. But as I've gone through this process, like you mentioned, it's just been huge ups and downs. So this, you know, every time the symptoms start coming on, it's like, oh, there's hope. Maybe this time, maybe this time. And then the disappointment of it not working out and all of the grief and loss associated with that. What's happened for me is that it's been a process of surrender, and also, like we talked about earlier, the opportunity to open more fully to who I am, to my light, to the divine plan for my life, and to surrender that dream. It's taken quite a bit of time to let go, and I have to say, because it was one of the biggest dreams. When I was in graduate school in 96, we went around the room and talked about what are our roles in life. And what popped out of my mouth, surprisingly, was mommy. And so it really has been a big dream for me. And so to, you know, work on surrendering and letting this go has been a real process. What helped, I think, the most was recently, before I moved to California in March, I started a 10-week therapy group where I was actually a participant. And it was so healing to be able to talk about this with other women and so that I didn't feel alone. I think there were emotions that came up that really surprised me, like anger and shame and humiliation, being a woman and not being able to bear a child, just, you know, all of the shame and humility around that. And so it's just been a tremendous process, and I came out of that group just feeling such a burden relieved, like just so much lighter and freer, and was able to experience more joy after that. So I think it's really important if anyone out there is going through this, either infertility or experiencing miscarriages, that you get some kind of support, and especially being with other women who've been through this, it's just really nourished and healed me. And now I feel like I can let it go and really embrace what I do have, which is so much. I have such a full, beautiful life, amazing friends and family, amazing work that I do. My pets are my babies, so appreciating them and the roles that they play in my life. It's just, I have an amazing husband. You know, there's so much that I do have. So it's going through that healing process. I've been able to get back to a place of gratitude and, you know, and the grief's still there. It's, you know, like when you brought it up, Chris, it was right on the edge of my heart. I could just feel it. You know, the tears are on the edge of my eyes and the pain is still there in my heart. It's not like it just goes away. But, you know, as the other grief that we talked about, it just gets easier and easier. It's not as overwhelming or consuming.
Yeah, and if we realize perhaps what our purpose is, I also didn't have any children, and I don't know if I had a real drive, strong drive to have children. I don't remember, like, in high school having that vision, like, I'm going to be a mommy. But, you know, when we came back from travels, same thing. We decided to try to have a baby, and I couldn't. So, but I know that Woman of Wisdom would not exist if I'd had kids. There's just no way. And my purpose is in another direction. And so since it wasn't such a strong a drive, but there's still the grief, because I remember when I, you know, menopause, that came about, it was kind of like, oh, okay, this is it. There is no opportunity or chances of that happening. So that I remember having some tears about that. And sometimes I grieve not having had that experience, knowing other women have. I would love to witness a birth and see that, you know, and yet I don't have friends, close friends that are, because I'm older, that are in that process. And so even though I didn't have a strong drive, there's still that grief, because I think it's so ingrained in us as women.
Yeah. It's innate, and it's ingrained in our social structure and our culture. And so for me, it's been really important to find ways to use and birth my creativity. So my books are like my babies, and my pets are like my babies. And it's that, you know, how can I use that energy of nurturing and loving and creating new life in other ways? Because I think that especially, it's important for everyone, but especially for women. I mean, we have these wombs. We have this capacity to birth. And so it's like, okay, well, what do I want to birth, since that doesn't appear to be part of the plan, you know? And I haven't gone through menopause yet, so it still is a possibility, which is kind of weird to sit with, that, you know, that it is still a possibility.
Yeah, because it's still in the back of your mind, like, what if?
Every cycle, every month.
Yeah. So at the last segment, we talked about the fertile living for today, and I want to go more into that process of I haven't heard anybody use that topic, and I think it's it speaks to, you know, fertility is that whole birthing of we give birth to children, but we give birth to our passions, to our creativity. We birth a lot of things in that, being in that fertile living place where we're open, and it's that surrendering you're talking about, open to what it is we are supposed to birth. And, I imagine this fertile living is like being fertile, being in that creative, fertile space where things can be explored and be developed and towards your full potential of, you know, what is your purpose? Who are you here to be? So how do you work with this fertile living, and how do you work with people on exploring that?
So for me and for the clients that I work with, I feel like it's really important to allow ourselves to go into the darkness of our pain and our grief and experience, allow that to come up and to be experienced. Because if we don't, if we resist it, it continues to cause suffering, and it shuts off that creativity and that fertility. So the first part of the process really is about healing the unresolved wounds, the places of unforgiveness, you know, self hatred, others. So healing those places, the grief of loss. I love this quote by John Cheney. I believe he's an author, motivational speaker, but it's, the soul would have no rainbow if the eyes had no tears. So it's that idea of the tears being like the rain and like coming down on the earth and fertilizing the soil and giving life to the new seeds, nourishing the seeds of creation and creativity. So for me, I work with my clients at a deep level. We do deeper consciousness and transformation work. And then it's creating that room for the passion and the vitality and the purpose to come through, you know, as we're clearing and healing and transforming the grief and the old wounds. And so working with, you know, what is that? Why am I here? You know, what do I feel passionate about? What makes me feel alive? What is my purpose?
And you have to. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say how I work with people is I believe that the answers are within us. So all of the wisdom is within us. And I use different guided meditation techniques to access that wisdom. So using my intuition and theirs, we do the deeper healing work together as a team. So I act as more of a facilitator as opposed to a traditional therapist.
Yeah, and you talk about that. I like that term. Tears are like rain. And I know when I've had a good crying spell, if you go look at yourself in the mirror, your eyes are clearer. It's like you cleaned out stuff so that something new can come in. And it feels great. And if we hold back on that, we're stuffing it. Nothing gets resolved. And you know, you can't move forward. You're stuck. You're stuck in that, in those, and you're probably not even feeling, you're probably going numb. But when you do release that, it's amazing what can come forward. Nothing like a good cry to bring out.
Yeah, you know, when people do numb out, it can turn into addiction. It can look like addiction. It can look like physical illness. It can look like anxiety, depression. It can feel like fatigue. So I think that, you know, when you're noticing those kind of symptoms in your life, maybe asking, is there any unresolved grief? You know, is there any wounded place in me that is needing to be honored and expressed? And so really having a practice where we have the ability to listen, to go within and listen is important in this process of creating a fertile life.
Yeah, that listening part's important. We can avoid it. I think we just get busy in our life to avoid that. So it's important to take the time for yourself, quiet down, and get out of that busyness of life so that you can feel what's going on inside. Well, this is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women. And when we return, we'll continue our conversation with Karen Merringer.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Have you ever wanted to join a yoga class, yet felt self-conscious or simply didn't have the time? Now you can bring live Kundalini yoga into your home with KRI-certified Dr. Ann Taylor. You will learn a scientific technology of movement, mantra, meditation, and breathing techniques designed to balance your mind, body, and spirit. Sign up today for our free newsletter and receive your first class free. Visit Ann with an E, Taylor.com.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more.
Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Danis on Voices of Women. I'm talking with Karen Merringer. Karen, can you give your contact information? And I'm wondering, maybe tell people where they can buy your book.
Oh, absolutely. The book's available on Amazon.com, and it has been in the bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Borders. You can order it through the bookstores as well. And my website is liveapurposefullife.com. My phone number is 831-359-2441, and my email is creativetransformations@yahoo.com.
So great. Okay, so we've been talking a lot about grief and vital life force energy and living a fertile life and all that. So what's the first step you tell people to live a more purposeful life?
Well, I think, Chris, that we need to remember who we are. So the first step is knowing who you are, and I like to think of it in terms of kind of like the iceberg analogy. So there's the part on top that we see, and I like to think of that as like our personalities, our appearance, what we love, our passions, what brings us joy, and so that part of ourselves. But then there's also underneath the water the spiritual aspect of who we are and our greatness and our brilliance and our power and our light. And so the first step is remembering who we are as spiritual, infinite spiritual beings of love and light and power and beauty and brilliance, while also human beings with certain, you know, personalities and passions and desires, and then getting real clear about what that is for us. That to me would be the first step.
So you mentioned that iceberg, I hear that analogy a lot, and that it's a nice picture of, yeah, you don't realize what's underneath the water there, this huge part of yourself. And I think people sometimes are afraid to show that part of themselves that's like hidden under the water. And so we keep it hidden. And how do we bring that up to the surface? You know, how do we raise that iceberg to be on top of the water so people can see us, see who we truly are, you know?
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, I know just being revealing who we are, it can be scary. And getting in touch with that power and that light. I mean, I've had experiences where I've got in touch with it, and it was so powerful that I think I kind of unconsciously shut it down a little bit just to kind of, you know, be able to function in this body and show up for my day-to-day work and stuff like that. So for me, I guess, you know, meditation. For a while, I was in a group meditation that was so powerful because when we meditate with other people, we can go deeper and then also kind of get in touch with those places that we don't typically get in touch with on a day-to-day basis. And then I also do meditation with my clients, which helps them remember who they are and get in touch with that power and that light as well. So some kind of guided meditation is really helpful. Is that what you meant with your question? Wasn't sure exactly where you're going with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of work that we can do. I was just referring to the fact that we do hide and I think we have to, it takes courage to show who we are, and we have to feel safe. We have to know, you know, and so I think first it's sharing it with people that you feel comfortable with, who you feel safe with. And then you get that, confidence to show it out there more with other people where.
Yeah. Yeah,
it wasn't safe before too. So you're stretching yourself, you know, and I encourage people to stretch yourself, you know, but it starts by, I think, like you said, you know, you have your coaching group or you have a small circle of friends that you share with. That's what gives you confidence to speak it out there and start, you know, showing who you are, and people respond positively, you get that a reinforcement like, oh, yeah, I can bring this bottom layer of me, this iceberg, this lower part of the iceberg up and show people without it being totally freaking me out. So you mentioned meditation, and I think what we're going to have you do, you told me you could lead a light, empowering meditation for people. And so don't close your eyes if you're driving, but how about
I recognize we only have a few minutes, but I'll see what I can do to kind of just get a couple minutes started. Yeah, okay. So if you are in a place that is safe for you to close your eyes without distractions or whatnot, I just invite you into that space of meditation with your eyes closed, sitting comfortably, feet on the ground or cross-legged, back straight, and just start by focusing on your breath, allowing the breath to draw your awareness inside. So taking a few deep cleansing breaths. Notice the quality of your thoughts. Notice if there are areas in your body that feel tense, sending your breath there. And allowing your breath to drop all the way down into your belly and all the way down into your womb. And now imagining a beautiful crystal of light, like a diamond out in front of you. And we're going to visualize placing this diamond, brilliant, radiant light into the third chakra, which is your power center, just above your belly, below your rib cage. So imagining this crystalline light inside of your core. And with each breath, it's growing bigger and bigger, and the light is shining brighter and brighter. So imagining that light growing with each breath. Allowing that to fill the core of your being from your chest down into your womb. And now imagining this brilliant light shooting down through your feet all the way down into the earth, shooting deeply, deeply, deeply into the earth, anchoring you, providing a stable foundation, connecting you to Mother Earth. And imagining your light also shooting up through the crown of your head, all the way up into the sky, reaching all the way to the stars, out into the universe, this brilliant, powerful, radiant light, so that you are like a vertical column of light. And now imagining the same light shooting out from your chest and your back area as well, out over the horizon, further than you can see, and out both sides as well, so that you are like the center of the vast sphere of light, 6 points of light. So allow yourself to sit in that knowing of who you are as a powerful spiritual being of light, brilliance, radiance, beauty. Breathing that in, taking that in, allowing this memory of who you are, your infinite nature, to permeate every cell of your body. Continuing to breathe. Bringing your consciousness and your awareness back inside of your body into your heart center. And just notice if there's been any shift in how you feel, in the quality of your breath, the quality of your mind. Coming back to center. When you feel ready, gently and slowly open your eyes.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Great to talk to you today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks,
Chris,
for being here.
A real honor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, remind people to contact Karen for a free 30-minute consultation and also a discount on the 3-session coaching package. So I want to leave everyone with this thought today. You can think about this for the weekend. What is calling you today? If you could do anything you desired, what would it be? Look at what is blocking you from taking the steps to make that happen. This is Chris Danis. I'm glad to have shared this hour with you on Voices of Women. And you can contact me at wow@womenofwisdom.org. And I'm the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Woman, an inspirational book of lots of different stories on the divine feminine and art and poetry. And you can purchase the book on our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. Also sign up for our newsletter. Find out about our conference coming up. It's February 16th to the 20th. And we have Jean Houston, Jean Schnodebolin, Ubaka Hill, and Naomi Tutu is going to be here, plus many, many other people. So thank you for being here today, and have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.